I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the MVP show. Today I have Mark Christie. He's the Principal Dynamics Consultant from Incremental Group in Scotland. He's an MVP and this year he has run the biggest in-person event in the Power Platform community with over 700 people in attendance and probably a title that he will hold for the rest of 2020. Full show notes for this episode can be found at nz365guy.com/231. Now let's get on with the show. Hey Mark, welcome to the MVP show.
Thank you very much. How are we doing?
Good, mate. Good. Good to have you on the show. There's so much to discuss since we've last seen each other, caught up. The world's totally changed.
It has indeed. It's gone a little skew-wish, getting a bit back to normality, but yeah, it's different times.
Yeah, definitely different times. Tell me, you know, the Scottish Summit was, I suppose, the last major community event to happen in the world in person. What's been your take, your retrospective on that event?
So kind of taking a step back, I think, I mean, let's be honest, hopefully I'm going to tick the box on myself and Ian will tick the box to say it was the biggest Dynamics in-person event of the year. I'm going for that. I'm putting my hat out there and saying we're going to get that. Not from us, but the things that we've heard from people in the community that has done, that has galvanised them, it's got them speaking to other people who are maybe modern workplace folks, speaking to people who are doing CDS and working on many projects and everything together. It's been madness. And I think we just have to kind of keep going, keep pushing, keep the community going strong.
Since that event, of course, everything has changed, but I know the putting on that event was a massive, massive workload. And before we get into that, actually, for those that you don't know, this is Mark Christie, and he, when I first went to the UK coming up 2 years ago now, there was no Scottish community at all in Scotland. There was not even a user group running at the time, and Mark decided to run a conference, which I participated in, and everyone was, you know, told him that he wouldn't get people there because there was no community in Scotland. And what was the results of that first conference? I mean, how many regios and attendees did we get all up on that first one?
Yeah, so I mean, the backstory was we were told that we should use Microsoft's office in Edinburgh because it holds 30 people. You're not going to get more than 30 people in that. And obviously, as soon as somebody says you can't do it, my first reaction is, okay, let's do it, but let's blow it out of the water. So yeah, we arranged an event. We held it at the Strathclyde Uni in Glasgow, and we had, registration-wise, we had over 400, but I think the final numbers were 310, 320.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's a massively successful event, right? And really, I often use this as an example of people that go to me, you know, oh, there's not enough people in our city or our town or our country to run a user group. And I instantly tell your story every time I hear that. And it's been a couple of times over the last 18 months that people have said this to me. And I think you guys are a shining example because this year, tell us a few stats around the event that you put on just 12 months later.
Oh, so 12 months later, we had over 700 people turn up. We ran it over 3 days. So we actually had, on day one, we had some training sessions from Nick Goldman on Power App Portals. Day two was a Microsoft-led hackathon where we had three different hackathons. And the big day, the Coupe de Grâce, was 700 people, and that was over 100 sessions throughout the day with over 12 different tracks. So we had every single room in that building packed full. There was room, standing room only in some of the rooms. We did get a reprimand from the venue after the fact for filling too many people in the room, which we can't complain at. I mean, we actually had, so the main auditorium itself holds 600. For the keynote speech, we actually had to put people downstairs and live stream from the main room downstairs just so everyone could see it.
Amazing, amazing. And of course, now, you know, that was it is the biggest in-person event of 2020. It was the last event anybody could turn out. Nobody, you know, would predict what was going to happen next. What are your thoughts on the plethora of virtual conferences, you know, that are now popping up left, right, and center? It's like every day there's a new conference or a call for speakers or an opportunity. I mean, it's great for the people in the community that want to develop their speaking skills, right? Because they can present anywhere around the world.
Yeah, I mean, I was asked last month to speak, to do a keynote for a user group in Chicago. There's just so many different opportunities. But yes, there are lots of different opportunities, but at some point it is getting oversaturated. We've made a decision not to run any UGs while all of this is going on, because there's so many of them. I did join one last night. I joined the Virtual Power Group in Scotland. I joined their call where Matt Collins-Jones was doing some work. But I mean, I would say every day of the week there is something on. And I see the same names popping up, which is brilliant. People are getting the time and the space to do things. However, I think there's a lot of material that's being reused, and that will get stale quite quickly. But as you say, giving people the platform to do it is great. Speaking in front of crowds and different communities and different cultures that you maybe never would have done. I mean, I know myself, going from speaking in the UK, where, I mean, if you've ever seen me talk, I am very hands-on, I'm very interactive, I bounce off the crowd. I prepare 3 slides and then the rest is just me doing stand-up, as we know from Bristol. So yes. And then I went over to Brussels to talk, and it was very, very dry. They were there, they were listening, there was no interaction. And it's been able to read the different crowds. I think being able to read a crowd virtually is very, very hard.
Totally, totally. I always found when I was doing virtual, you know, pre-sales, and I remember particularly once doing this one, I was in Western Australia in the boardroom of our company there, and I was presenting into Hong Kong, and it was just, they had double booked me. I would have normally been in Hong Kong to do it in person. But the hardest thing I found was, you know, if you land an idea or a concept and relate it to a business outcome, there was no way of, you know, reading the audience to see, did that land? Did they understand it? Do I move on, or do I need to, you know, uncover, you know, their disbelief or whatever it is, you know? And it is difficult in a virtual world, but I think we're going to develop new tools. I see Satya today announced the new feature in Teams, which are a team together, which it creates a virtual conference room and all the heads sit in seats and stuff. It was interesting.
I've seen some screenshots of that over the past couple of weeks up here in some chats, and I thought that is amazing. I can't wait for that one to roll out. So that could be quite interesting, having that as a conference, just sitting and having a look at people. I mean, we had looked at trying to run we are running a virtual event next year. We had looked at some augmented reality for it. There are some apps out there that will allow you to do that, but I didn't feel it was the right investment of it. I would rather have invested that money elsewhere to give more people a platform and more people the chance to see the sessions, because we were limited to the number of sessions we could run because of the hardware of the provider.
Of course, of course. One of the things you mentioned there is that, you know, you're seeing often repeats of the same sessions around the traps. And of course, you know, a comedian gets really good at their job because they do repeat themselves just at different venues, different locations, different audiences, right? And they work on their the landing of their message. Is it connecting at the right points? They take the Q&A, well, not comedians, but let's say relating this back to our industry, you look at the Q&A and go, okay, should I build into my next presentation these things which I know are going to come up, you know? And so if you like, head them off, so therefore more new questions can come up. So I do like the idea of doing a presentation and refining it over, you know, over delivering it in multiple sessions, because I think it gets better with time. But I think that the key thing is there, you know, if you're going back to the comedian scenario, it's always a different city, different venue, that type of thing. And so therefore, you know, if I was looking at doing this at the moment, I'd be going, okay, can I hit, you know, five or six time zones around the world at different user groups and deliver it across those? The chances of having the same person in one of my sessions again is going to be very remote.
Well, no, I would argue differently. I think, I mean, a lot of people are joining sessions from all over the world.
Even in the midnight, 3 a.m. in the morning, 2 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah, so maybe that's the one kind of difference, like a UK to US or UK to Oz sort of time. But, yeah, I mean, I have to be careful how I word this. There are sessions that I've seen where it has been in different locations, in different time zones, but I've even joined different time zones and different things. And that's really where the comment came off of replaying the same thing multiple times. Yeah, I get the refinement of it. That's good. But that is maybe how people work, especially if they're getting used to things. If it is maybe the first slide deck they've done, the first presentation they've done, then yeah. I think being more seasoned, a lot of these presentations for me become throwaway that I do. I will do a session probably no more than 4 times before I bin it. And if you see that session 3 times, I mean, it's maybe I've just been unlucky and seen the same session 3 times and it's then been binned the next one. But yeah, there's a lot more choice out there. But I do think that oversaturation may become an issue. And that's kind of why we're not doing anything, and we've done something totally different for our virtual event at the start of next year.
You know, I mean, like I'll give you another example just on this topic, is that the industry is always changing, right? New people are coming into the industry. They're not seeing what we, sometimes I see us as seasoned professionals, we make a judgment call off our seasoned professional backgrounds, but we don't often look at it with new eyes. And I take one, a leaf from Microsoft here, and I'll talk about Ryan Jones specifically. You know, I've seen him do his CDS presentation multiple times, right? And it's not changed a lot over the years, right? Because, you know, maybe the demo changes slightly, but, you know, it's not a heck of a lot. And, of course, they're going that, hey, in this room, probably 60% of the audience has not heard my session before, so therefore this is all new to them. But it's still the same thing, right? CDS is CDS. It's kind of like, you know, the way the infrastructure works, the way the software works, et cetera, doesn't change year to year, but it's still an ongoing education, particularly of newcomers to the game, that story.
No, that is true. I mean, that's where I think setting out the levels that you're going, is this a level 100 session? Is this a level 2, 3, 400? I think that can also sometimes be a good gauge of where you're going in. I mean, I totally get you. Ryan, even a Ben Vollmer session is a Ben Vollmer session. It's the same 95%. The only differences are some of the technical aspects of it have changed. So, no, yeah, I do. Yeah, I take that. And as part of my job, I do obviously mentor the people in my work and kind of mentor people who are trying to join the MVP program. So I do have to sometimes take that stance. Okay, yeah, that is a little bit different and you need to refine it. And yeah, but when we look at doing refinements, it's right, let's do some internal playbacks off it and do it that way. So there are, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. But I do think that, like, if you're going to be a speaker in our industry, you need to have between 3 to 5 different presentations for different audiences and for different events, right? And so, and the reason is that, you know, if we look at the comedian metaphor again, they have a repertoire of jokes and they decide what's going to be in this gig tonight, you know, what I'm going to put in there. And I think, yeah, the risk is, yeah, you're a one trick pony. And I think that, you know, I think the leveling, you know, level 100, 200, 300, once again, based on your audience base, it is important to understand who your audience is each time. I agree.
And it's been able to switch as well. You need to be able to switch. If you start off on level 100 and or you start on level 400 and you're not getting that interaction that you would expect, you need to drop it down to the right level.
What's your predictions for how, you know, do you see a day that things are going to go back to normal, as in pre-January this year? Or do you think, and I'm going to talk about in work here and what you're observing as a consultant, what do you think is going to happen in the industry?
So I know for me that we'll not be in our office again this year. And I think customers are now seeing, yes, it can be done remotely. And they're also seeing that they're not having to pay expenses. Expenses for some consultants can be the same as a day rate. So if you look at flights, if you look at hotel, you look at meal and a flight back or a hotel, that's a lot of money. If they can do this remotely, and especially with the advances, I mean, I think Microsoft have had to roll out functionality in Teams that was maybe 12, 18 months down the road that it would have been ready. But they've had to up the game to bring that out. And I think that's made a huge difference. I mean, I've been running sessions. So I'm working on 3 projects at the moment. All are being done as workshops remotely. All are fully interactive, always on camera. Because that way, I've got a rule that I'll explain something once, and if I'm getting blank expressions, I will try and change it into their terminology and explain it again. If it still doesn't hit, I'll then dumb it down as much as I can. But being able to see the look and expression on people's faces through Teams is a huge benefit from that. Because I've been on a customer site where I've been in a room with 3 of the clients, and 2 of them have dialed in just on the phone, on a big speaker phone. So you've got your big spider phone sitting in the middle of the table, and you don't know if they're even there. They've maybe disappeared away for a cup of tea and a pee. Whereas at least if you're on video on Teams, you can actually see what's going on. You can gauge the reaction. If you can see somebody's not believing what you're telling them, you can ask them. You can question people as well. One of the things as a consultant, you look at the room, you know your audience. You can tell if somebody has got something that they want to say or is struggling with something. You can just tell by that look on their face, and that doing that on Teams, it works the same. I mean, I think we've all had to adapt, but yeah, I don't think it's going to go back to normal. This will become the new normal, which as a consultant is great, because that then opens up a lot more doors. Being based up in Scotland, in the middle of nowhere, I'm not limited to where I am because I've worked for English companies, but there was the expectation of, yeah, you need to be in London 2 or 3 days a week. I think that's going to change. So there's the job and the marketplace for that is going to explode.
Yeah, I think it's actually a change in the mindset of the customer to a degree. I've in my consulting career and running consulting teams is that we would have customers that if they didn't see a bum in the seat in their office, why are we paying for that individual, right? And now they're like, we don't want the individuals in their office, thank you very much, because we don't know where they've been. And so now you've got this scenario where I think the customers are going, you know, this actually works. And it's a lower cost. We don't have to set up access hardware, all this kind of stuff. Well, I still have to set up access. So I don't have to set up hardware, desk space, that type of thing. And we're still getting an output, right? And I think the outcomes are going to be the real core key measurement, not the showing up.
Yeah, I mean, I actually created a kickoff meeting agenda the other day, and I actually had to take out, so as the prerequisite, as the customer has to supply They have to supply tea, coffee, drinks, water, have all that, projectors, whiteboards and things. I'm like, it's a virtual meeting. I can take that whole thing out. It's like, there you go, boom, gone. But no, I think, yeah, it will be very customer driven. But I have also seen employers who are very much, if we don't see you in the office, you're not really working. I've seen those sort of employers actually say, look, it's not affected our bottom line. We can still bill these consultants 80% of their time, whatever their number is. So I think that is going to be quite a big change.
What's the market like in Scotland at the moment for, and particularly around the adoption of the Power Platform over Dynamics 365? Like, is there a lag to, what we hear in the US? Or are you seeing customers, specifically engaging around the Power Apps, Power Platform story rather than the traditional Dynamics 365 story?
So not to go into it in too much detail, but where I'm working at the moment, we've had to reorganize the business unit. So we now have a Power Platform business unit. So what we are trying to do, or what I'm trying to position this as, is we sell Power Platform. We sell CDS. You're not buying Dynamics. You're not buying Azure. You're not buying Power BI. You're buying CDS. You're buying the platform. You get the data model right. You can use anything. You can use a first-party app. You can use a per Power App, per user license. We've got customers who are coming to us directly and saying, we want to use CDS as our data warehouse. So CDS has become, wants to be our, or we want CDS to be our data master. We want to then build everything and hang it off CDS. They don't even care what applications they use. They just know that CDS is the place for their data. So that's definitely the way it's going. And yeah, you won't be selling. I say you won't be selling. I mean, I think somebody said Dynamics is dead at some point. But your comment was half right, I think, at that point. CDS is the way forward. You're not going to buy Dynamics. You're going to buy CDS, and then if you want a first-party app like sales, marketing, etc., you're going to buy it. If not, you're going to customize that. You're going to have a Power App, a model-driven app.
Mate, time's flowing. It's been good chatting with you. Let's just run through some quick-fire randoms with you, okay? What's your favorite board game?
Ooh, Cards Against Humanity. Does that count?
I thought you were going to say spin the bottle, but I was going to say it's not a board game.
So, I mean, if I'm playing board games, Yahtzee is probably the one that I play most. Does that even count as a board game? Technically, you're throwing the dice on a board.
But I would take Cards Against Humanity as well. Okay, would you rather experience the beginning of the planet or the end?
The beginning, because you get to discover all of the new things as they appear.
Nice. Okay. What's one thing you did that you wish you could go back and undo?
And I'm only allowed to use one thing here. Well, there's loads of things. I'll go with something really quirky. I have a tattoo that I absolutely hate, that I should never have got, that I'm in the middle of getting removed.
Wow. Is that hard? Does it hurt to get it removed more than getting it added?
It's about three times as painful to get it removed. Because basically all they're doing is burning your skin.
Yeah.
So they burn your skin so that it blisters. So they burn it to a certain temperature so that it blisters and the ink rises to the top. So when the blisters then pop, the ink comes out. It's going to take about 4 sessions to get it done.
Wow.
So I wouldn't have to deal with that pain.
Describe your worst date ever.
My worst date ever.
Yeah. You don't have to name names.
This was before I was married. I went on a date with somebody, and the person I went out with a date on the night before was at the table next to her, or next to us, with her mum and dad, and was explaining how she had a great date the night before. She hadn't seen me at that point. And honestly, being Scottish, I'm very pale skinned. I was grey. That gave me the absolute fear. And I was quite lucky at that point because mobile phones had just come out. I think I was actually still rocking a pager at that point. I just kind of ghosted that one. I didn't have to reply to any messages because the phones weren't kicking.
Well, if you could visit any place in the world, where would you go?
This is going to be very Microsoft-centric. Well, no, actually, I was going to say Seattle. Dallas. I'm a very big Dallas Cowboys fan. I want to go there. I want to visit the stadium. That's probably one of my biggest things. I've done sort of the holidays that I want to do. I've done Dubai, I've done Thailand, but I've never got to go to Arlington to AT&T Stadium. That's where I want to go.
Nice. What was the last foreign country you visited?
I'm probably going to say it was Thailand. I can't remember. I don't think I've been anywhere abroad this year. I mean, MVB Summit was meant to happen and that got cancelled. So my Seattle trip never happened. And a few events also got cancelled. So yeah, I don't think I've actually been anywhere this year. The last holiday I had anyway was Thailand. I've probably been speaking somewhere between then and Christmas, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Wow. This is a personal random question. Is it true about what they say a Scot wears under their kilt?
You'll need to ask John Levesque what he wore during the keynote speech.
Did he free ball?
I will not comment on that. I will let him do. It depends on the venue and the surroundings. If you are up on a stage and you are wearing a kilt, the people who are downstream of that kilt will not be watching what you're talking about. Yes, there is a time and place. And also, not to go into too much detail, but the material is very heavy woolen material, which gets very itchy and very... So yes, a time and a place. Weddings, usually. Not a funeral. It's probably not the place for it.
Good. Gotcha. That is so cool. Mark, if people want to connect with you online, where can they find you?
Yep, Twitter, LinkedIn, just search for the Mark Christie. If you search for that, you'll find anything. You'll find my Twitter, LinkedIn, website, YouTube, podcast, anything like that.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you've not had a chance to review, as in rate, give me feedback on the show, I would love to hear from you. One way you can do this is on iTunes. If you go to nz365guy.com/iTunes, it'll auto-redirect to iTunes or Apple's platform where you can leave a review. I'm really after 2 reviews. That's it, and it'll put me over the 20 number, which I hope will mean reviews will show up on my podcast feed. I'd appreciate it. I hope you appreciate the show. Full show notes can be found at nz365guy.com/231. See you next Thursday.